Good morning, I'm Anthony Moreno. It's 6:45. New Mexico's public education department is planning to appeal a court ruling last month that found the state violated the rights of at-risk students by failing to provide an adequate education. Judge Sarah Singleton's decision doesn't tell the department exactly what changes to make, but says it must do better by its low-income and Native American students, those with disabilities, and English language learners. Education Secretary-designate Christopher Ruskowski talked to Hannah Colton about the ruling.
We've made a lot of progress in the past couple of years. When you look at districts that have made double-digit gains, like Gallup, where 40% of our Native American kids go to school, like Farmington, like Hobbs, like Gadsden, and I think it's hard sometimes for the public and for your listeners to understand just how significant that progress is.
The judge did in her ruling talk about the progress that's been made, but ultimately she ended up writing that those nominal gains were not enough to excuse the state from liability for failing to meet those constitutional rights. And this is a case about discrimination, right? So what do you say to the fact that certain students are getting the short end of the stick? I mean, that's the crux of this case.
Yeah, so let me just say first and foremost, I think that the judge and the public and those that are calling the gains that have been made from 2015 to now nominal are really off the mark. That does not mean that we don't need to focus on equity in our funding formula. That doesn't mean that kids don't have a right to not just textbooks and technology and some of the things the judge talked about, but also a right to literacy and a right to numeracy. And that's why we focus so much on early literacy, for example, over the last 5 years.
Do you just outright reject the judge's determination in this case, or specifically what did she get wrong?
The judge makes a very causal argument between money and outcomes. I was with our superintendents last week and I said, if we provide more money, can you guarantee better outcomes? And not one of our 89 superintendents raised their hand, because it's just a little bit more complicated than that. It's not as simple as a one-to-one relationship that more money will automatically lead to more outcomes, that there certainly needs to be other policies, practices, and mindsets built around that, that it's just not quite that simple.
Right. And the judge was never making the argument that more money in and of itself would improve the education. She wrote in her ruling that the additional money should be spent on programs that target those at-risk student populations. Judge Singleton, in her ruling, also spends a lot of time talking about the need for more accountability systems. So we heard testimony in the case that PD had failed to keep track of English language learner programs, failed to oversee the development of culturally relevant materials. So my question is, how could PED do better in these areas that really require outreach and relationship building?
Yeah. So first, the English language proficiency of our English language learners will now be part of school grades for the first time ever in the 18-19 school year. Second, we've now moved from just twice a year government-to-government meetings to monthly conference calls with the Indian Education Council. And then the third piece, as we've, as a PED, gotten more involved in holding people accountable for the usage of those dollars, we've encountered massive resistance from districts, from charters, and from stakeholders. So there is some tension there with the idea of local control brushing up against the idea of PED oversight into all things happening in our schools. Let's say we do put more money into the system over the next several years. How are we going to measure progress when the same folks that are often asking for more resources are also asking to get rid of the core ways that we've measured student progress over the last 5 years? That is deeply problematic.
So you still have about 6 months in office here. Is there anything you heard in testimony in this case or read in the judge's ruling that you want to be sure to take care of in the time you have left?
Yeah, there is a lot of momentum that we want to build upon. I'd put pre-K in that category. I'd put meaningful teacher quality in that category. I deeply believe that there's a path forward for New Mexico. The goal for us has to be to come together in a bipartisan way, but we have to embrace both money and measurement, not just money without measurement, rigor and relevance. It's not an either or, it's a both and.
Secretary Ruskowski, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Hannah.
Democratic candidate for governor Michelle Lujan Grisham says if elected, she would not continue the Martinez administration appeal of the judge's ruling. Republican candidate for Governor Steve Pierce has not announced a position on the issue. In more news, an animal shelter in Las Cruces is battling an unusual outbreak of canine distemper. The Las Cruces Sun News reports officials say around two dozen dogs said to be infected were euthanized recently at the Animal Services Center of the Mesilla Valley. In addition, seven dogs at the shelter have tested positive for distemper and are being treated. Clint Thacker, the center's executive director, says distemper occurs frequently at public shelters, but he says what makes this outbreak unusual is the large number of animals sent by the shelter to rescue organizations that develop distemper symptoms after arriving at rescue facilities.